right, everyone. Welcome once again to PWT Talks NXT. We had mostly just these shows right after TakeOver are not very monumental. They're unimportant shows for the most part. We've got our leftovers having a match. People who are good but not quite good enough are not quite important enough at the moment to be on the main show of TakeOver. We got a lot of recaps, and we did get a bunch of emails. Thankfully, we do have a lot of call-ups to talk about, because six different individuals, four different acts, but six individuals were called up to the main roster, and we're going to talk about them. If you have any questions about NXT that you want to pose to us, any comments, anything, we got four of them to tackle this week. You can go ahead and email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com and get a hold of us there. So, without further ado, let me go ahead and announce who else is here with me. Justin, go ahead.
This is Justin James, Justin_M_James at Twitter. I'm the Torch's NXT TV correspondent.
All right, Harley, go ahead.
My name is Harley R. Pajot, and I cover Ring of Honor for the Pro Wrestling Torch. I do written reports about ROH television and live events, and I host a podcast on Mondays called Talking Honor.
All right, and I am Kelly Wells. I am your host, and I also do the NXT Tracker, where I take a talent and I talk about their prospects for the future. I haven't done one of those in a couple of weeks. I am going to, in the next few days, hit you with a piece about the call-ups that were just made, a tracker on the call-ups and their prospects before I get back into the swing of doing the tracker. But that's where we're at. We are going to go ahead and start talking about the call-ups right now and totally undercut my upcoming piece that I'm going to be writing. But what are you going to do? So we're going to go ahead and we are going to talk about those six lucky few that were called up. No surprises here, I would say. Not famous for being correct on this show. I am not surprised by No Way, because I didn't think there was anything else for him to do down there. And I wondered when he came back if that was the reason. He's the most surprising of the six, I'll say that. Let's go ahead and start with No Way Jose, since he was already brought up. So No Way Jose, this is...
with Rosebuds in tow.
Right.
Yes, I made the Rosebuds comment in my report too. I said, why do you get the Rosebuds?
Yeah, I saw the Rosebuds comment a few times. No Way Jose, so he's going to be, I hope, a guy who injects some life into the beginning of the show. He'll be a gatekeeper, probably. He won't win a lot of important matches, I don't think. And maybe he will go and he'll see the occasional mid-card title match. If he stays on Raw, and right now there's no way of knowing where they're going because Superstar Shakeup is next week. If he stays on Raw, you might see him wrestle every now and then for that Intercontinental title, or you'll see him lose matches to be the top contender for the Intercontinental title. But No Way Jose, I know that Harley, you were sitting by maybe with some stats. Do you have stats on him, or are we just going to go in and...
Yeah, I got some stats if we want to share that before we discuss.
I love that. We all love
stats. No Way Jose.
Yep.
All right. What I got for Jose, he made his NXT television debut July 29th, 2015. Wow. So almost 3 years. But in that time, he only made a total of 46 appearances. He leaves NXT with a singles record of 10 wins and 9 losses. So better than that's a pass. It's above 500.
I thought he actually had a lot more wins.
In the record books, he'll go down with a record. He was not quite as good as Bo Dallas, but he was slightly better than Tyson Kidd.
Hmm. Okay.
There you go. That's what I got for Josie.
All right. And did he have any... he never won on TakeOver, I don't think, but he did make a TakeOver or two, I assume.
I think so.
Not a lot of major matches for Jose.
Those records and appearances include TakeOvers and TV.
Yeah, if he made it to a TakeOver, it was like to help rebuild Andrade Almas or something.
Yeah. I don't think he was probably on any takeovers to do anything big. But I just remember shows being booked, and I was like, where's Jose all the time? I was always thinking he seems like the odd man out, where they felt like they were putting effort into him, and then he never got booked on this major show.
Yeah, and then that's why I thought his record was better, because they were always giving him wins. Like, he was always getting wins.
And then he had one takeover match.
One takeover match, okay.
Was it against Andrade Almas?
Brooklyn 2, where he was defeated by Austin Aries.
Oh.
Right. I remember that feud, yeah. And that was the feud where supposedly, it was kind of a feud for a few weeks. Aries wanted to bring out the less happy version of
Jose. Yeah, yes, and vice versa. Yes.
Yep. Jose wanted Aries to
put a smile on his face. Yeah.
And so we all thought that it happened as we thought it would, which is that Aries got his win and Jose found his angrier side, which of course led to him skyrocketing to the top and winning the title. So
I'll just say this for No Way Jose. Have you guys ever been to an NXT live event?
Yes, actually he was in the main event of the live event that I went to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you get your refund?
Hey, he was in a tag team match with Shinsuke Nakamura against Samoa Joe and actually Riddick Moss. So that was the very strange tag team match that I saw as the main event. It was good. It was fun. Shinsuke obviously did the lion's share of the work. And I will say that I liked what Jose did because Shinsuke and Jose actually, they did Shinsuke's spots on the ropes in tandem. So they did a few things like that. So, yeah, it was a good time. I've actually been to two NXT shows and Jose was on both. He wrestled singles and opened the first one, but I'll be damned if I remember who he worked with.
Well, you'll never get to have that experience again.
Well, I'll say this for Jose, and this is where I was going about Jose in the live shows. He connects really well with the live audience.
Yeah.
You know, he does that Santino Marella, that R-Truth, you know, that I'm a clown. We all know I'm a clown. I'm going to clown for you, and you guys are going to get emotionally involved, and you're all going to cheer for me. Everyone's going to cheer for me. Even the people who cheer for Adam Cole are going to cheer for me. And because nobody can hate me, I'm fun, I'm energetic, and that's what he does. He's the circus clown.
Right.
And except for the people who are scared of circus clowns, so he's even better than a circus clown.
Right.
And so he does have a strong value. And even if you say, okay, his TV time on NXT was long done, when I saw him at a live event, he hadn't been on TV for a while, and he had that crowd going. There was somebody in one of those motorized scooter wheelchairs, and I mean, he danced with this guy, and he got in the back of this chair, and the guy was driving him all around.
Oh, that's amazing! And everybody
loved it. I mean, I was cringing. I was like, oh god, I'm gonna read about how he got released for harassing a disabled audience member. Everybody loved it. Everybody had a great time. And I know that, that's such a cliche in WWE. He's just here for a good time. But he had value to the brand, even though you didn't always see him on TV.
Yeah. I think that Jose can be, at best, something like The Godfather. At worst, something like Santino Marella, which is still a useful thing to be. He'll do a lot of jobs, but he'll always be there to make you believe, and he'll always be there to get the crowd revved up. So I think that this is going to be a fine call-up. I actually think that he's got more value and more use on the main roster as a gatekeeper or whatever he's going to be than he would on NXT. Because there's precious little time on NXT to give people on TV. So you might as well move him up and where he's got time to give. So that's No Way Jose.
I was just going to say, and the Raw roster, much more child-friendly than NXT, I would assume.
Yeah, I think so.
Lots more kids, lots more things like that. I mean, when I saw him on Monday, again, I thought, probably not going to be a mid-card champion, probably never going to rise too high on the card. But is that the end of the world? Does every person... If you're a wrestler and you're never going to be the world champion, does that mean, well, I failed, my career's over? Not necessarily. I mean, Heath Slater is probably really happy with his career. I'm sure he probably has a lot of fun and makes decent money and is that the worst thing to happen to somebody like Jose?
No, and I also want to point this out. I know that you don't keep stats on them. Alvin keeps stats on the main roster, but a lot of these guys, these clowns, right? These circus clown characters, have much longer careers than main eventers. They're taking less bumps. They are they're not just taking less bumps, but they're not, you know, the higher you soar, the harder you fall, right? You look at some of these people that have been shot up to the top, failed, and fell back down spectacularly.
Yeah, take a Jack Swagger, because, like, Jack Swagger went up real quick. Yes, exactly. He went up quick, and there was nothing more to do with him because he didn't have that grounding of that silliness that could keep him. Santino, for instance, he got pushed pretty well a couple of different times, and they, you know, he was a guy that they put in the Elimination Chamber once and had him go to the final two, which was hilarious.
Yes.
But yeah, he got – and he was the last guy. Yeah, and he was the last guy tossed from a Royal Rumble once when Alberto Del Rio won it. He was a guy they could use for spots like that and really, really get the crowd to hate the other guy for taking him out.
I mean,
so,
Goldust and Rhino are still going pretty strong at their age.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, so, you know, I think it's one of those things, like, I forget who said ages ago, but, like, what's the best job in the NFL? Being a third-string quarterback, right? You know, if you ever get put on the field, nobody expects you to perform, and you get paid $100,000 a year or $200,000 a year to never take a hit, to just sit there, show up, and be ready. And would you rather be that guy, or would you rather be the quarterback making millions who's getting pounded all day long, you know, by 300-pound brutes?
Yeah, and is getting his life shortened, for sure. So, yeah, I'm with you guys. So, no way, Jose. Are we bullish or bearish on you? I don't know. I think that Jose will have a decent enough career up there, and he will provide value. And if he gets pushed higher, all the better. I don't see that for him. I don't see titles in his future. Maybe a wacky tag team title or two here in the future.
Vince
for
does
him.
Love having people of color who dance.
Yes. Who dance. Oh,
he does.
He does.
Yeah, I think we've all criticized the No Way Jose character for that exact reason a number of times. Because that's exactly what it is. He's another one. He's dancing, singing minorities. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of depressing to me, especially in 2018. But, you know,
who knows? Maybe Jose just really loves dancing in real life, and they said, well, all right, we'll use that.
Yeah, if Nicholas could win a tag team championship, no way Jose could have gold in his future.
Yeah, for sure.
All polls are off.
Right.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
All right, let's move on to the Iconics, as I believe we're going to call them now, the Iconics.
Yep.
Peyton and Billy, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, no surprise here at all. These two have been off TV for a while because when they were on TV, they were jobbing, and that is not a useful thing to be doing when you're about to go up to the main roster. So better you're just off TV for a while. So I dare say really positive entrance for these two. It seems like there's a plan or some kind of plan in there. Maybe they just had a plan for a good entrance, and we'll see that they don't have anything beyond that. But it seems like right now there's something for these two. Peyton and Billy were a very important part of the tag division for a long time, although they did a lot of jobs. Harley, take us through that right now.
Yes, so Peyton Royce debuted on NXT May 15th, 2015. Billy Kay debuted about a month later on June 10th, 2015. They made 52 and 53 appearances, respectively. Where it gets interesting, Billy Kay made the exact same number of appearances as Alexa Bliss. Peyton Royce This is a good one I found. She debuted May 15th, 2015 in NXT. She debuted April 10th, 2018 on SmackDown. That's a total of 1,061 days in between her two appearances, her two debuts, which happens to be the exact same number as Baron Corbin.
All right.
So Peyton and Baron spent the exact same amount of time between NXT and the main roster. Peyton ends up with a 7-14 singles record in NXT, which is tied with Elias. So, and look where he is today. So, yeah, you never know. And Billy is actually worse at 5-11 in NXT. Billy is tied with Summer Rae for the 7th worst record in NXT women's history.
All right. So,
but yeah. As a duo, last few stats.
Okay.
The iconic duo. They're the only women to spend a longer time in NXT than Billy and Peyton are Bliss and Bayley. They had 7 tag matches in the women's division, which is the most of any women's tag team in NXT history. And they finished up with a tag record of 3 wins and 4 losses, tying them with Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd.
Okay. They, wow, even there they didn't have a winning record.
No, Peyton, well, Billy, both of them.
We feel for you, but yeah, they were the right people at the wrong time. But they also could be Miz-like characters because their enthusiasm and their overall just bitchiness keeps them over. You know what I mean? And I mean that lovingly. They're both so good at it, at just being so tedious and so annoying that, like, even though they just lost, they're talking themselves up, and it's like, oh, you gotta be shut up. I think they're great at this. And
I thought they captured that really well in their debut here.
Yeah, and I think that's going to keep them around for a long time, too, obviously using Miz as a template. And I tend to compare a lot of people to Miz, and because I just really like Miz as a yardstick for somebody who can stick around for a long time and somebody who can keep themselves over. He's a guy a lot of wrestlers didn't want to see succeed because he came up in a very, very different way. But man, oh man, does he understand the business as well as anybody. And I feel like this is the same template these two are taking. So Peyton, as we know, we saw them flip-flop. Billy Kay was the de facto leader of this pair, and it ended up becoming Peyton as her heel act grew a lot more. I saw Peyton work against Daria Baronato, now known as Sonya Deville, a long time ago, and they were both very raw at the time. This is a couple of years ago, almost 2 years ago, and they both had a lot of work to do. Peyton ended up, I think she beat Daria. Oh, now I don't remember who won. It doesn't matter. They were both learning, and that was clear. And now they're both much, much better workers. But Peyton's heel work was coming along at the time. Justin, go ahead.
Peyton was in the WrestleMania Battle Royal. Billy wasn't.
Right. Yep. It's clear that this dynamic has shifted between these two.
I noticed the same thing. I always kind of wondered what the rationale was. Maybe there was the perception that Peyton was a better worker. I always suspected that somebody felt that Peyton was more photogenic than Billy Kay. That was always my deep suspicion.
Right, and that wouldn't shock me a lot if that was the thing. I mean, she is. There's no denying that. She's gorgeous, so there's that, and that's always going to be in her favor. I don't know that that's the only thing. At one point, Billy Kay was the more polished worker, but Peyton's gotten there more through heel work than through work rate. But I think they both do a pretty decent job as far as that's concerned, and I just really like the opportunity to see them talk over each other and get all giddy and annoying when they're talking about people they don't like. I love that stuff.
I love really the little, like, I love the little kissy things they do when they come out to the ring. Like,
yeah.
Because it's just so annoying. It's like these are the drunk sorority girls.
Well, the finger pointing at each other?
Yep.
Yeah. Like they're the drunk sorority girls that I hated in college.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great at it. What's the limit for these two? Are we seeing titles? Are we seeing title matches? Are we seeing no pay-per-view work at all?
This was already a bigger debut than I expected.
Yeah, it was.
I thought they'd be kind of like the pests who were picking on Bailey in the locker room, not coming out and beating the crap out of the arguably the top woman in the entire company.
Right. Yeah, I'm bullish on their chances too. I knew that with the proper presentation, maybe they could be a big deal. And it doesn't matter what NXT did with them. We know now that we shouldn't put too much stock in their success in NXT or lack thereof, because yeah. they may be used in a totally different way by different writers who see a different way to use them. So I think that the plans are pretty big for these two. Obviously, there's no tag titles for them to win, but I believe that Peyton will continue to assist Billy. Billy will continue to assist Peyton, and Peyton could be maybe in the mix for some titles. And if not, at least she'll be a great feud for Charlotte while she's working her way back towards that title, which I'm sure she'll have again by the time we get to WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, I really see them in the kind of that Dolph Ziggler role of they're perpetually on my TV, and they're sometimes on a pay-per-view, they're sometimes not, and you can trust them to be on a pay-per-view and not embarrass anybody.
Yeah.
They can hold it their own. Obviously, I'm not going to compare either of them to Dolph Ziggler in terms of work rate, but you know, you can put them on paper, you know, and I think they're going to get used like Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, and they can still seem important, even though in the back of your mind you realize they're losing a lot of matches.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But what I was really reminded of with their debut is just the chemistry that they have with each other and how natural and real it feels. It's the same, like, especially in the segment with Charlotte. In my head, I'm thinking this is the exact same kind of repartee that you saw with Owens and Jericho, or you see with Kevin and Sammy now, and that's kind of missing in the women's division, especially, you know, Riot Squad felt like three people who just got thrown together,
right?
And they don't look like friends, and they don't look like they hang out together outside of the ring. Mandy and Sonya actually are best friends in real life, but even then they don't look like they should be, whereas these two look like they could be sisters. Like, and yeah, there's just something very unified about it that really makes them stand out, I found.
Yeah, the WWE roster used to be pretty good about that, where they'd have a couple of the women together, and it would just give them something to do beyond the fact that they were all kind of interchangeable at the time. I mean, 8-10 years ago, when the women's division was nowhere near where it is now, they would at least have a couple of women together, and they'd be the mean girls, and they'd have, you know, something to do. That it seemed like the pair was greater than the sum of its parts. I don't know that Peyton or Billy would do nearly as well if they were split up. I feel like the name Iconics was made in, like, just in case they split them up and then one of them is called the Iconic. I don't know. It feels, yeah. I've watched too many of their corporate ideas to not think that, but yeah.
But yeah, the women's division was dominated by Lay Cool for years and years. Right. They were the women's division.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I was a big, big, big fan of Layla, and I don't mind Michelle. She's cool. So.
Yeah, no, I was.
I didn't mean to do that, actually.
Yeah.
I heard myself say it, and I was like, oh, God.
No, I was a big fan of Layla, huge Layla fan. I loved it when she was Regal's valet. I'm a big fan of her in so many ways. I thought she was a good character. I thought she had some good work, especially after she took some time off and then came back. I really liked her in the ring.
Yeah. All right. So Peyton and Billy, I think that's good on them, and we'll see if they stay on SmackDown. I think they will, but the women's division is going to be interesting. They got to spice that up because it's not a humongous division, and there are a lot of heels between all the various factions and pairs that they got going on. So we'll see where that goes. All right, let's go ahead and let's talk about the authors of Pain. I'll tell you what, guys, if you predict that a couple of guys will go up long enough, eventually you'll be right. Well, finally they went up, which we thought they'd be doing for a long time. And as I predicted on the NXT tracker probably 8 or 10 months ago when I first started saying they were going to go up, I did say that I didn't think they'd end up going up with Ellering. I thought Ellering would not go on the road, whether no matter whose choice that was. There or not, we don't see a lot of managers on the main roster, which I continue to think is a mistake, especially as I watch old shows and see what they added to the show. I get that they don't want to pay them, but I think they can be a really, really cool addition to the show. But yeah, Ellering not going to be a part of what's going on with the AOP. But
are you impressed that they actually addressed it, though?
I am, yes.
They didn't show up without him. They actually fired him on air.
Right, yes, I am. I'm glad that they actually went through that, and that kind of internal logic is often missing in pro wrestling. I'm not going to say WWE, because no matter where you look, that kind of thing is... That kind of attention to detail is just often forgotten, where they say, oh, the fans won't notice, they won't care. But we do care, we do. We notice. So I think there's a lot you can do with AOP. Now, they did show up on Raw. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to be a part of Raw, but I think that's a decent place for them right now.
Yeah, keep them away from the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, Bludgeon Brothers, exactly. There's no reason for them to be on the same show as the Bludgeon Brothers. AOP, sky's the limit, I think, with these guys. But we'll see. It's odd to throw them into a new situation, that being one with no manager, right as they go up to the main roster. So they get this major promotion, lose their manager. It just seems like a lot. And I hope these guys soar, because I am firmly in their corner as a guy who watched them go from very green to extremely polished power team.
Well, what did you think of their promo on NXT tonight? Because we got to hear them talk without Ellering.
We did. And I thought it was almost jarring, because we've just not seen that. So I thought they acquitted themselves fairly well. The over-reliance on yelling feels very, very 80s and early 90s. But I think it's okay. I think that kind of works for these guys specifically.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I'm Wade Keller, and I urge you to be sure that you're also subscribing to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast at Podcast One and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. All you have to do is search Wade Keller in Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app you use on your Apple or Android device to subscribe to both feeds. There's a red brand covering Raw and SmackDown every Monday night and Tuesday night, and it's downloadable a couple hours after the show. And then there's also the Wade Keller Podcast Flagship Edition on Thursdays, with a rotation of co-hosts, including Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, Todd Martin, Bruce Mitchell, and others. And then there's our Interview Friday edition. Every Friday, I'm joined by a guest who has worked in the wrestling business, including ex-WWE creative team members like Kevin Eck talking about Drew McIntyre.
Drew was a young guy, and did it go to his head, and did he walk around like he was the chosen one? He did, and I was frank with him, and I said, Drew, just so you know, this is how they view you.
And Podcast One's own Christian Harloff talking about his days working for WWE and Vince McMahon specifically.
As far as their perception of him, I mean, he's the king. He walks in, and it's just, you can feel it. I mean, if the force was real, you would feel the force powering into the room when he enters.
And pro wrestlers, including NWA World Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis, also known as Magnus, talking about the challenges facing Ronda Rousey as she transitions from MMA to WWE.
Think about like the press conference and stuff like that. Someone tells them, like, all right, now it's your turn to go out there, right? I'm sure if you ask Ronda, she'd probably say this moment is the result of hundreds of people's work, meticulous preparation and planning and timing and everything. And now suddenly it's like, go. And that can be very overwhelming.
Just search Wade Keller on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
I don't know. So, yeah. What do you, Justin? How high are these guys heading up?
I agree with you guys. Sky's the limit for these guys. You know, when they first debuted on NXT, I was dubious. These were two people without a professional wrestling history and background in a promotion that was just filthy with people from the independent scene. These guys looked like performance, you know, they looked like these just big men. And they're for, you know, but then they had their first couple matches. You know that these folks may be large men, but they wrestled a light heavyweight style in terms of their speed and agility. Very fast. They put on hard hitting matches that made you cringe, you know, because the moves look brutal. Ellering was good, but he was adding less and less over time. And they did give these guys some more speaking segments to bring them out on their own. So I think they're ready. I think they can add plenty to the main roster. I also felt the same about the Revival, and they've just been floundering due to injury and other circumstances. But, you know, I'd like to see these guys, you know, get to the top. I think they've got it.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the same thing about the Revival, too. I hope it doesn't happen at the expense of the Revival, because the Revival, as long as somebody there remembers how good they are, they're going to be fine. And it seems like right now somebody's thinking about it because they did win a match.
So they can lose to Matt and Bray next week.
Yeah, probably so. I assume that's where that's going. That show looks like it's going to be stacked. Undertaker and Rusev. Whatever, man. I don't know.
What they did is they had a total of 10 minutes of Undertaker ring time this year to parcel out. Instead of giving all 10 of it to John Cena at WrestleMania, they gave 5 to John Cena, and they're giving 5 to Rusev.
Right.
He should be honored.
Right.
He should feel honored.
He's going to go into the casket, and hopefully he will come out a babyface, because that is what the world wants.
You want some AOP stats?
Oh, yes, we forgot about that.
And my opinions on some of these things?
Oh, of course.
Sure, whatever.
No. So, Office of Pain, Aikman and Rezar debuted June 8th, 2016, so almost 2 years ago.
They squashed the Revival.
They made a total of 59 appearances in NXT, which is the same number as Finn Balor. And Ooh. Look at where he is now. I don't know. I was going to say something. Whatever. Oh, I think I was going to say about the Revival. I feel like AOP have better chances because they're more easily identifiable. They're more 2018 Vince McMahon than the Revival are. You know, like they're two big men who just beat people up. And we've seen with the Bludgeon Brothers, Harper and Rowan barely talk as well. And they're the tag champs now. So, yeah, I don't know. Authors of Pain, 22 wins, 2 losses, 3 no contests, which makes them the second best tag team in NXT history, behind only Finn Balor and Samoa Joe.
Oh, right. 4-0 or whatever.
They were 5-0, so
5-0.
Yeah.
Okay.
They did win the Dusty Rhodes Championship, yeah.
Yeah.
They did.
Classic.
Unlike the Undisputed Era, they competed in the whole tournament, not just the finals.
Oh, boy.
And get gifted a trophy. Roderick Strong.
I want them to bring out the trophy like they won it.
Yes.
I really hope that's what they're doing.
They need to cart the trophy around on a hand truck. Like it's a title belt.
Right. Oh, man, that would be amazing.
Oh, that would be so – like have it bungee corded. Like treat it so disrespectfully. Like bungee cord and duct tape it to this ratty U-Haul hand truck stolen off a U-Haul truck.
We'll see. They still have one member of the Rhodes family hired. So we'll see what they think about that.
My last question for you two. If – Ellering isn't with Authors of Pain anymore. What happens with him? Does he go into retirement again? Does he resurface in NXT with somebody else, a new tag team or a new singles act?
I
fantasy booked him to raise up a new team to challenge AOP and get his revenge.
Yeah, like War Raiders don't really need a mouthpiece.
No.
And there's not really any other big guys like that.
Initially, he showed up, and it was like, well, of course he did, because his daughter Rachel showed up on the show, like, right around the same time. So
we haven't seen her since.
Yeah, we haven't. And she still works on the indies, and I guess she's pretty decent, going by the name Rachel Evers or whatever. I don't know. If she's still around or if she pops back up onto the roster, then yeah, I think he'll stick around. But I don't know.
Maybe treat them like Charlotte and Rick
down there. Okay, yeah.
Where he's not managing her, but he's around fairly often, and they get backstage things together.
Right.
Whoa! I don't want to picture Charlotte doing anything that Ric Flair does backstage.
Oh, yeah, he's something. Okay, so
living in this area that I do, I've met a couple people with Ric Flair stories.
Oh, yeah, I bet you have.
Yeah.
Forget where you are sometimes. You know what? I hear your voice, and it blows my mind that you are in the Southeast. I have to remind myself that you're down there.
Yeah, I was raised in Jersey, born in Bronx, but I live in South Carolina.
Yep. You going to make it to WrestleMania next year back home in Jersey?
You know, I saw that every year. I tell myself, is this going to be the year I finally get to WrestleMania? And then something happens. Like, I always find myself like the week that the tickets go on sale is the week that, you know, I get hit having to, I don't know, put a new roof on the house or something, you know?
Right. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see if you make it next year. I'm getting to the Rumble next year, I think, in Phoenix, but we'll see about that as well.
You know, okay. I'd rather go to the Rumble, honestly. I'd rather go to
the Rumble. Yeah, the Rumble is really where I'd like to go the most, and I have been to one. I was in the one in Phoenix in 2013, and I still have a lot of friends in Phoenix from when I lived there then, so plan to go back then.
I don't drink caffeine, believe it or not, and I don't know if I could make it through being a live crowd at WrestleMania for like the 32-hour straight stretch it takes, apparently.
Right.
Between pre-show and everything else.
Yeah, I'd like to do it one. You know, I figure I got to do WrestleMania before I get a whole lot older, because I won't have the stamina to do it.
Yeah, it's like, you're just like, you're
I
just
don't,
like,
and I'm at just, home.
Yeah, you're like, can I just like put on Matlock and go to bed?
Matlock. I love it. Yeah, we're getting to that age, listeners, are your hosts. Okay, so from there, we have one more debut to talk about. Also a pretty good one, Ember Moon. So she was fresh off a hot run as the champion, a semi-hot run as the champion. A run as the champion.
Yeah.
There's no denying
that. A walk as a champion.
She right. spent the entire run as champion. I think as a champion, I think she won one or two matches. And the rest of it, she just got beat up by Shayna Baszler. That's what she did as champion. Got beat up by Shayna Baszler.
She did. And now it's not going to matter because they're in different places. They're not referring to each other. Shayna's doing well. Ember, I think, is going to do well. She got to be in a tag match with the new champion. A good spot for her. And she got the pin, as you would assume she would.
Over the old champion.
Yeah. And Ember, I think, is going to... Ember should be the kind of act that I think has more potential on the main roster than it does on NXT. It still might be a little old school. Like, it's not Papa Shango, but it's still out there, you know? And hopefully that it'll work, because my only issue with her over time has been that she seemed to exist in a different reality than other wrestlers. And I think I talked about this on our podcast, where Shayna seems to live in real life and Ember seems to live in pro wrestling world. And it's, I don't know. I think she'll do better on the main roster. And her first match there is a good indication that they have some idea what to do with her. But I don't know what show she'll end up on. I don't know who she's going to feud with. Would love to hear who you think she's going to feud with. Harley, go ahead and start with stats and then take it away.
Sure. So Ember debuted NXT August 20th, 2016. So just over a year and a half. Not that long compared to a lot of these other people. In fact, the only people to debut in NXT after Ember and make it to the main roster first are Ruby Riott and the Singh Brothers. And I don't even know if you really would count the Singh Brothers because they don't really wrestle on the main roster. They're more like managers.
Right.
She made a total of 60 appearances in NXT, which is the same amount as Jason Jordan. And she leaves with a 19-4 singles record, which actually makes her third best in NXT women's history behind only Paige and Asuka. So, yeah, I think the big thing, I mean, you look at the stats like that, she got called up pretty quickly, made a lot of appearances in the time she was down there, third best record in women's history. I think it's just her problem in NXT was she was always overshadowed by Asuka for most of her time. And then once Asuka finally left, not overshadowed by Shayna, but the story became Shayna Baszler coming in and bullying Ember and Dakota and Kairi and everybody else. So, yeah, I don't think we'll really be talking about her as one of the all-time greatest champions in NXT or remembering her time there too fondly. But I definitely think – but, I mean, we don't really think about Alexa Bliss's time in NXT too fondly or even Nia Jax either. And they've gone on to much bigger and better things. She definitely seems to have a lot of potential on the main roster. To what Kelly was saying about the supernatural elements of her character and how they kind of don't fit in NXT, definitely make more sense on Raw. Look, I mean, we look at Bray Wyatt, we look at Matt Hardy and Undertaker and all of that. She fits in easily with those kind of personalities.
Yeah, I think we forgive it a little bit more there and just buy into it a little more. And we'll see how far they want to go with that. I don't know that I want her to join that group or anything, but if she had to join a group, that'd be the one, probably. Okay, yeah. Justin, I know that you've been a detractor of the way that Ember has been presented at times. How do you think she's going to do on the main roster?
I agree with you guys. When she was in NXT, I got really scared when they started calling her the Sheenom. For that, it was that one event. It was just like that one night where they kept calling her the Sheenom, and like, and when you guys mentioned the comparison to Undertaker, that's why I was cringing because I was like, really? Like, I know that she has like smoke in a cloak, but that doesn't mean that she's anything like Undertaker. I do think that her act will go over much better in the main roster. I think that she still has a weakness in the way she does her promos and the way she emotes. Everything feels a little bit over-exaggerated. Like, she just over-exaggerates her facial expressions and her body language. Yeah. And it feels false. Like when she talks about Shayna Baszler, she physically recoils in such a fashion where you're like, it just didn't work for me. I think that she needs to make a little bit of continued progress there. But outside of that, I mean, her in-ring skills are very good. You're absolutely right. You know, on NXT, she was overshadowed by Asuka, which is one thing that made it hard for me to really buy into it, because you always knew that Asuka was the woman. And then after Asuka was gone, Shayna Baszler slipped in, and you were just waiting for Shayna Baszler to beat her up and take the title. It just took three tries to happen. We predicted on all three of their matches that Shayna Baszler would win that by referee stoppage, which is what we got. So it was just so predictable. But I think on the main roster, I think she's got a very good future. I think that she's a great addition. Her in-ring talent, you know, I think that she can hang with Becky Lynch and, you know, Sasha Banks and Bayley and Charlotte and... You know, I think she can hang in that crowd just fine, and I look forward to seeing those matches.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I'm certainly not worried about her from a wrestling standpoint. She's been great at that for a long time. The first great match of hers I saw, or at least very good match, was a match with Asuka at a live event I went to. It was the best match of the show that I went to by far. And it was during Ember's quote-unquote undefeated streak, where she lost a lot of matches to Asuka around the country. But yeah, those two had a really, really dynamite match and really brought it at a long, I want to say it was 3.5 hours, 4 hours, this show with just 7 matches. They gave him a lot of time. And from there, I knew that she could do her part in the ring. So hopefully everything coalesces for her. So that is the 6 people that we saw go up to the main roster. No shocks. We might see one or two more next week during the Superstar Shakeup. This certainly doesn't mean we're done, although with these people here, plus the return of Jeff Hardy, the return of Bobby Lashley after a very long absence, and a couple other moving parts here, I don't know how much room there is, and certainly you don't want anyone to get lost in the shuffle. So,
well, and I looked it up.
I thought there was a surprise. Go on, Rod.
No, I was just going to say, I looked it up last April. The only call-ups we got were The Revival, The Singh Brothers, Shinsuke, and Elias.
All right.
So already we're pretty much tied for the same number of people.
Yeah, and the Singhs got brought up more to be valets. So,
yeah, than actual wrestlers.
Right, so...
But then I've been convinced Sanity have got to be done in NXT. If Sanity are still in NXT, I don't know what happens with them.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's that was a weird one. So Andrew Gamble emailed us, as he's oft wont to do, and he said, "What do you guys think of the potential of the recent call-ups?" Well, we did just cover that.
They all sucked.
In terms of championship victories, covered that a little bit too. I did a little research and found some interesting results. Only 2 tag teams have won the NXT tag titles and a main roster title. Only 3 NXT champs have won a world title. 5 NXT champs won a singles title. Only 2 NXT alum have won a world title or a singles title without being NXT champion. 4 women have won the NXT and main roster titles, Asuka being the exception. And now Carmella is the 4th alum to win the main roster title without holding the NXT title. Sincerely, Andrew Gamble. Upon reconsideration, this is still him, he emailed me again. Upon reconsideration, way more men have won singles/world titles without being NXT champion, but I believe the rest of the stats are accurate. So, I will say that I'm not surprised that the women have had more... Well, there are 2 women's titles to be had on the main roster. They're just the one down there, and NXT is prone to very long title reigns. They don't like to spread them around. So it kind of has this weird effect of making the NXT title seeming like it's this real coveted thing, and the titles on the main roster, the way that, for instance, Sasha, 4-time champion for a total of 2 months or whatever it is, that these hot potatoes up there don't do the titles any justice. So we'll see what happens with Carmella. I don't know that she's got the chops to be main roster champion for very long. She's an okay heel though, so we'll see what happens there. But that is what Andrew had to say. We're gonna go into our main event of this week's show, Heavy Machinery versus Sabatelli and Moss. Last week, we only had 1 match with a winner. This week was no different. We only had 1 match with a winner. This one didn't have one. It was a no contest, but I dare say a no contest that was warranted, because as this show came on, we tend to, so listeners, we tend to Skype chat with each other during the show if we have any smart-ass comments to say, and Justin said, "Here's something I thought never thought I'd type: Heavy Machinery versus Sabatelli and Moss in the main event of the show." Definitely was an auspicious main event, but we found out that that's because the real main event was the War Raiders making their first appearance. A much lesser name than War Machine. I'm sure we'll get used to it, but right now I don't want to get used to it. So, Heavy Machinery, Sabatelli and Moss. We're going to see at least one feud out of this. I would assume they're going to feud with Heavy Machinery. I assume they have completely forgotten about the Sabatelli and Moss internal fighting because it doesn't even get mentioned anymore. But War Raiders made their debut. Justin, what'd you think of this?
First of all, this match was a clinic. and if you're Tino Sabatelli, you're going to do everything you can to keep a guy like Riddick Moss around. He did have that very impressive catch of Tucker Knight, who would have flattened at least Harley like a pancake. I'm sure I could have caught him too, no problem. So, now in all seriousness, you're right. I mean, this was a time filler. Kairi Sane and Lacey Evans went on for even longer. That was like a 9-minute match almost, I think. It was a time filler match. It was enjoyable for what it was. And, you know, the War Raiders debut was definitely the highlight. People popped hard for that. People know who they are. I don't like, even though I'm not super familiar with them as War Machine, I don't like the name War Raiders. It sounds awful. Like I was saying, joking around, it sounds like a Scottish folk metal band.
Yeah. I assure you, War Machine is very, very cool. They're good in the ring as a monster team, to the point where the other monster teams on the roster should be a little bit worried about this signing. They're a great monster tag team, had a lot of great matches with much smaller guys, and I think provide great foils. I assume from this that they're going to be used as heels, but I'm not 100% on that yet. They might be anti-heroes. I don't know what they're going to do. Harley, what'd you think of this?
I grew up on WWF Superstars in the mid-90s. That was my show. Saturday mornings, 11 a.m. was when I got my wrestling fix. And every time I see Heavy Machinery, it just, they seem straight out of that era. I cannot take them seriously. I know people like them, and I'm sure they're talented in the ring, but it's just a straight flashback to the Smoking Guns and the Body Donnas. Tonight, there's something about Tucker Knight where he had a real Duke the Dumpster Drosy vibe about him in my mind. I don't know what it was. Maybe it's the hair or something, but he kind of looked like a garbage collector. I don't know. There's just, it's so hard for me to take them seriously as a team. And tonight I had the revelation. I was like, if they were a tag team back in the 90s, they wouldn't have even had the names of Otis and Tucker. It would have just been like, introducing Scoop and Dozer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? I'm totally with you on this. They do seem like they're from a bygone era. They're a very silly team. And they're there to inject life. They're going to be popular with young folks probably if they go to the main roster. I don't know what the upside of these guys is. And we have to remember, this is still relatively early for an NXT act. A lot of them stick around longer. Like, I find myself surprised all the time at how long somebody's been there. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised anymore, but I still am. So
yeah,
there's a lot of the time for these guys to refine their act.
I certainly don't hate them. They just have that Saturday morning cartoon vibe to me. And so seeing them in the ring with War Raiders, former ROH tag team champions, former IWGP tag team champions, very surreal. It would be like if next week they booked Roderick Strong against Doink.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same vibe to me. But, yeah, I'll second what you said. If listeners aren't familiar with Hanson and Rowe, I think you'll be impressed. They definitely, I can see why we held off on their debut, and we didn't want to have them and AOP on the roster at the same time.
Yep.
But very different. When you see Hanson suicide dive through the ropes, when you see these guys, Hanson does, I think, a cannonball over the ropes to ringside at times too. They're much closer to Killian Dane than they are to AOP or even Heavy Machinery in that respect.
Yep. Seems like we're just going to get the name Rowe and not Raymond Rowe from what I saw on the screen
yes.
there.
And I was thinking about that too. I don't want to blame it on Vince because Hunter does it too. There's something Tay Teams cooler if they only have one name, I guess. Harper
I guess.
Vince, Connor and Victor.
Oh, that was Lake Connor and Victor.
Yep. I don't know. So seems like that's the way we're going to go with them. So unless we got anything more on that, I don't know what they're doing with Sabatelli and Moss. Who cares?
I do like the idea of them being heels. I think it would be tough for them to get booed. But we talked about, when we were talking about the Dusty Classic, how there's a surplus of babyface tag teams right now.
The Raiders?
Yeah.
If the Raiders
were face, we'd probably have to see them against Undisputed Era. ROH fans have seen that a lot of times. If you have them heel, I've never seen them face off against TM61. And I think they'd be good for Street Profits and Heavy Machinery to have somebody to work with, somebody credible.
The NXT crowd is going to prove to be the most difficult part of that, because they could go to the main roster right now and work heel, but right now on NXT, in front of the crowd that is more likely to know them, I think, it's going to be a little tougher for them to work heel, and they're going to have to find a way to do that. I mean, it seems like the company on the whole is finding ways to do that. You have Shinsuke Nakamura screw up a match that everybody wants to see. Like, that's the way that you make somebody stay heel, if you want to make sure that they get booed, even though they've got the charisma to get cheered. So I'm hopeful. But,
and Heavy Machinery and Street Profits are pretty popular among NXT. Popular enough that they won't get booed? I don't know.
That's true. We'll see. Hopefully they'll probably work War Raiders against a couple of jobber teams first, just to be sure, see what we can do there, and then maybe get in the faces of somebody who is beloved down there. And I think Street Profits are probably the most adored of the face tag teams. I want to say probably, but we'll see where these guys slot in. So the other match we had on this show was Kairi Sane versus Lacey Evans. Another decent one, a decent opener. I do have an email from Michael McGivern. He's emailed us before. I think it was about this same thing. He said, "I'm sorry, but this is the hill I want to die on. Awful, awful, awful. Lacey Evans, worst entrance music ever. Worse yet, it doesn't even come close to fitting her character anymore." I still think it's better music for a heel than it is for a face. But, this music is something else. And maybe that's the idea. Maybe you're supposed to hate it so much that that it works as heel heat. I don't know. But I don't want to give them that credit, because she showed up as a face with this music, and it did not work at all. I think this is just kind of a happy accident that people are hating it this much. I don't want to belabor the points, because we've argued about this before, but I'm with you. I hate hearing this music completely. But Evans had, I think, probably her best match to date with Kairi. Decent enough match. Competitive, which I wasn't 100% sure it would be, but Kairi won, as we thought she might. So on this opener, Harley, go ahead.
Yeah, only real thing, another win for Kairi. It seems like she or Dakota are probably going to be Shayna's first challengers for the title, which makes sense. Shayna's been picking fights with both of them, injured both of them at one point in time. But then at the same time, last time Kairi and Shayna faced off on TV, maybe a month ago, Baszler won in pretty quick, decisive fashion. So I don't know. If we're going back to that already, they're going to have to do something more. Kairi beat her in the Mae Young Classic, and you'd think that would be enough to say, oh, well, she can hang with Shayna. But I just keep going back to that last match that they had was shockingly quick. I was expecting a good back and forth 12-15 minute thing before Shayna won, and I don't think it was that long at all.
Right.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Prichard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcast.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts.
Yeah, I don't know. This was it was competitive. So, Justin, go ahead and take it away.
Yeah, I mean, Lacey Evans got a shocking amount of offense. And I know that they're just trying to fill time. But Lacey Evans got a shocking amount of offense in this match. And yeah, every time this question about her music pops up, I have to like think real hard what it is, and I have to play it back in my head, and I start playing it back in my head and says, yeah, she's got some really awful music. So I like Lacey Evans. I think she has a lot of upside here. You know, she's got a character that's unique. She has a unique look in NXT. She understands her character well, and as we've discussed, she needs to, you know, work on her promo delivery. But you know, she has some in ring skills that are a little bit unique in NXT. You know, her size. You know, she's tall. We haven't seen that since Charlotte. Kairi Sane, I love her as a character and I love her as a wrestler, but they're going to have to rehab her because they sacrificed her on the altar of Baszler. And she's really supposed to be the number two, the number two or the number one person line for that title. And she doesn't, you know, we've already seen her get destroyed. It was like Ember Moon. Right, you saw Ember Moon get destroyed by Asuka, and you're like, you know, she's going to be the one taking the title of Asuka. I don't know how she gets there and how it's going to be believable.
Yep. So, I don't know. Lacey, kind of treading water. It seems like she's in this position where it seems like they want to push her, at least they want to make her seem legit, but she's in a position where she has to lose a lot. We've seen that happen a lot in NXT. We saw it. We just talked about it with Peyton and Billy.
Yeah, I think she's kind of taken their spot.
Yeah.
Her and Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah, that's true, too. But yeah, Lacey, I don't know. She's come a long way in terms of who she is. Like, we know who she is now. The act kind of makes sense now. It's done. They've done tiny tweaks almost every week she's shown up. And I think she's going in the right direction. And I don't know. This match, not a bad one. They gave him decent time and everyone acquitted themselves well. So
had to be the largest match she's ever wrestled in front of.
It's, oh yeah, that's almost certainly. And the longest match we've seen of hers on TV, I would wouldn't hesitate to say. So there you go. Brian Alston, I did that last week too. Brian Alston, he went ahead and he gave us a many point email. Hello, friends, starting with takeover topics. Number one, I didn't have a problem with Ronda Rousey hugging Shayna Baszler after Shayna won the NXT Women's Championship. They are friends. You might not like what your friend has done and is not doing, but they are still friends. Okay, so in response to this one, I get it. That's true of real life. Wrestling sometimes is more black and white than that, and typically draws more money when it's more black and white than that. Although I understand here, and this is not a couple of feuds that are in a position to be the main draw of the company or anything like that. So
they actually doubled down tonight on NXT because they talked about her friendship again.
Right. So they've got a plan here. They're not just doing that out of nowhere. I think that they think maybe they can pull off this horsewomen Survivor Series match, and that can work. And you know, I don't feel overly strong about the Rousey and Baszler thing. I don't love it when you want to, like, you could have just as easily had Rousey ignore her altogether, but whatever, they were in the same city, they did what they did. I'm not overly worried about it, and I think they're both going to be fine. Number two from Brian. I screamed out loud at least 10 times during the North American ladder match. Incredible spots. Yes, very incredible spots in this match. Good time. Number three, during the round table, you mentioned having a Pyrrhic victory, but you didn't define what a Pyrrhic victory was. You know what? I didn't notice that at the time. We talked about the hilarity of
Moro
bringing
define
that
it either.
Up. And then we didn't. Yeah, and then we didn't do it ourselves. We did the same thing that Moro did.
You guys so are the Moro and Alo.
No. I just respect our audience so much that I assume that they're well read and know what a Pyrrhic victory is.
There you go. You know what?
Mamma Mia, Justin.
Did you hear the Mamma Mia chant, by the way, Takeover, Kelly?
They did that just for you.
They're all listeners. They know right. how much you love it.
I do love it. Pyrrhic victory. We know that Brian knows this because Pyrrhic is he spelled it correctly. P Y R R H I.
Spell checker's a thing.
What's that?
Spell check's a thing.
I know, but it's not a thing if you can get nowhere near. Pyrrhic is a weirdly spelled word.
It is.
I don't know. Maybe he looked it up. Maybe he didn't. But the point is, a Pyrrhic victory is a victory where you get your ass kicked so much on the way to victory that it's almost a loss, or it's a very difficult victory to take. And in context, we were talking about the Pyrrhic move. I want to say it was a Tope Suicida or something like that.
Yeah.
During that match. Doesn't matter. But he was right to call us out on it because we took him to task, Moro to task, for not explaining it, and then we didn't explain it. Number four from Brian. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, William Regal had a quote that reminds me of Pyrrhic victory. He said on NXT a while back, he said, it's like winning the prettiest man in prison contest.
All right. Number four from Brian. I loved the camera work with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly when Roderick Strong assisted them. As an Undisputed Era went from shock to surprise to happiness. It was great. Oh, my God. I agree with this so much. I really like what both Cole and O'Reilly did as characters, and I love that the camera caught all of it. This could have been a much lesser moment, but it worked so much because it told the story that they, too, were surprised. I loved that, and they saw it worked, and, it made the moment work so much more for me. Absolutely, totally in agreement with Brian Alston here. As far as tonight's show, he had one question. What would you do with Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss? They've been teasing a breakup for a couple of months. Could either do well on the main roster? My opinion, keep them together and bring them up as a pretty boy heel tag team. Thanks. Okay, so I am of the mind that Moss has a decent amount of potential and Sabatelli's is fairly limited, although he has the kind of body that might get him over with certain parts of the audience. So I don't know. I feel like Sabatelli is still going to be lost right now without Moss. I do like the idea of keeping them together, even if you think that Moss can do something for you more down the line. I don't know that they are anywhere near main roster ready, and I'm okay with that. I think it's fine to just keep them down there. Have them have their battles with Lorcan and Birch or whoever's down there. And they'll do a lot of jobs, and that's fine. I don't know how else to use them right now, and I feel like they don't know how else to use them, as evidenced by the fact that they teased a split, and then they didn't split, and so now it's just this thing that's hanging over their storyline. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? How do you want to use these guys, Justin?
I like them just the way they are, to slightly misquote Billy Joel.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, I'm with that as well. I think right now they're in the right place. Harley, anything else on that?
Just checked. They've had a total of 10 matches on NXT television, which is only one less than Hype Bros. And those guys got called up. Of course, Zack Ryder was a lot more seasoned.
Right.
When we were talking about weeks ago about them splitting up, I was against that because I think they both get lost as singles acts.
Absolutely.
They were coming into their own as a tag team. I think they need to go more into tag team territory. I hate that they've had 10 matches and they don't have a team name yet. Sabatelli and Moss, not good enough. They need a team name. They need more of a unified look. If they're going to be like the Rich Boys, I don't know. Find some way to show that off more. Give them some sort of accessories that they can.
Besides the Maserati that they share?
Bring that to the ring with them, right?
The multicolored car that they drive. I feel like that's all part of that issue is all part of the fact that they clearly don't know whether they want them to be a team or not. They almost split them up and they never gave them a team name in the first place. There must be some kind of disagreement backstage on what to do with these guys. So
the other thing, I think, give them a Sunny type manager.
All right. Give them, like, not Sunny. She's kind of a disaster right now. But you know, a Sunny-esque manager.
Yeah, she managed a lot of teams like them in the early 90s.
Right.
And I think they could really benefit from having, like, an attractive woman on their side who...
Well, what about like, Tainara Conti? So, you know, she was with the Undisputed Era for, like, a week.
One match,
and
yeah.
Then they pulled the plug on that. And she's okay in the ring. Maybe this
somebody,
is a spot for her.
Yeah, can learn with them.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm looking over the list of, like, women in NXT right now, trying to think of anybody else who kind of fits, and it's not too many names jumping out.
Right.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too, and if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
All right, so we'll see what goes on with those guys. I assume that Tom already knows what's going to happen with those guys because Tom is out at the taping tonight. And
they're going to get squashed by War Raiders.
Yeah, they'll probably be the first. If not jobbers, then the first people to lose are going to be those guys.
I thought we were talking about Tom for a moment. I was like,
he's going to get squashed by Nicholas. War Raiders.
He's not Nicholas. He's Tom.
He told me this afternoon that he was planning on picking a fight with Hansen. I said, no, right. Dude, don't do it.
Don't do it. All right, we have one more email. One more email from JT Grizzle. All right, Grizzle, if that is your real name. Hey, guys. With Johnny Gargano reinstated to the NXT roster and Aleister Black, your new NXT champion after TakeOver, do any of you think there's a possibility of at least a short feud or one-off match between the pair for the title, as Gargano is the only man in NXT to own a victory over the current champion, albeit in a multi-man match that featured undisputed shenanigans? The shakeup could see call-ups, and I've heard a lot of people talk about Gargano gaining a SmackDown contract. We've done that, and leaving NXT under his own steam. Okay, rather than being forced out like he was before. But I've always felt like Johnny's story naturally leads him towards the NXT title. And while both he and Black are babyface, they are very different characters, and I could see them having awesome matches together. Even if it's just a one-off match between the pair as Johnny's final NXT match where he loses to Black, I think that it's a match worth having, given that it can be built around the fact that Gargano has pinned the champion before. Love the show, and keep up the good work. JT. All right, so, yeah, I am of the mind that Gargano was probably slotted to go up sooner than later, and this whole feud that he had with, I don't know if it was an audible or if it was just a happy accident, but the thing that he had going with his old partner, with Ciampa, that may have just changed things for a small amount of time. I would like to see Gargano up soon, too, but I really like the idea of this doing one job to Black, maybe. Gargano did a lot of jobs, and we thought maybe this was the way of having him go up as a winner. What do you guys think about this, Harley?
This very idea that JT wrote crossed my mind during the episode today because, I remembered only person to pin Black during his time in NXT was Gargano in that Fatal 4-Way. And, yeah, Johnny is very focused. I mean, before Ciampa derailed him, he was very single-minded on wanting to be the NXT champion. So there is a story to be told there. It's kind of weird having the babyface against babyface, especially when Black just won the title. To put him up against somebody so popular, that could be dangerous. What about a triple threat with Almas? Or even better, why not just take the two hottest matches in the last takeover, combine them, and do a four-way at the next takeover? put Ciampa in the mix too. Let these, there's stories to be told with everybody there, and that four-way could even then transition into a Ciampa-Black feud if they wanted.
Have we forgotten that wins matter in NXT?
They do tend to.
Because to kind of, you know, quote Zelina Vega, what do we have to do to get rid of you, Johnny? We've beaten you so many times already. I as much as I love Johnny Gargano, as a character, he has no business anywhere near a title match right now. He's lost. I mean, they rebuilt him last year, but he's lost so many title matches in the last couple months. He's lost like what, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. I can't even remember. So he's got no business like sniffing the jockstrap of a title match. And Ciampa has been gone for 10 months. He's had one match and he lost. He's got no business being near a title match either. I don't see either of those guys anywhere near a title match.
There is a pro wrestling tradition, though, of the babyface champion giving opportunities to people who might not otherwise get them.
That's a good point.
You know, like saying, hey, like, I'm more than happy to give you a shot at this title because I respect you as a person. And William Regal says, oh, well, like, if you want this, who am I to say no? You want this, the fans want this.
But Drew McIntyre just did that routine like 4 months ago, 5 months ago. So, I mean, and I think you're absolutely right, but I mean, they just did that route. And that's not
one contender match on TV. You know, they booked Johnny and Lars and some sort of cheap Lars gets counted out, something like that.
I really think that once they figure out what's going on with Drew McIntyre and Almas, you know, does Almas get kicked up next week? Is Almas stick around NXT? Whatever, you know, Almas and McIntyre get rematches because they're NXT. And after that, I think they're pulling the trigger on Lars Sullivan going to a title match.
I will say this to Mr. Grizzle. I don't think that that's the plan, but I don't hate it as an idea if he's got to do one more job to go up. I mean, might as well put over your new champ strong if he's going to be holding that strap for a handful of months.
Yep, and I agree 100%. My fantasy booker, you know, as a fan, I would love to see Almas in Black in a 20-minute match that would tear the house down. I would love it. It would be amazing.
Yeah. Gargano in Black.
Gargano in Black. Who did I say?
You said Almas in Black.
We already saw those two fight. Why would I book them to fight again?
I thought that was odd, but...
But Gargano in Black is... You know, I consider that an NXT dream match right now. I'd love to see that. But it's just... When I put my booker hat on, I just can't see how I wrangle that and have it make sense and not damage the title.
All right, so...
Are we ever going to see Candice LeRae wrestle in NXT?
Oh, please, I hope so.
Yes, I really hope so, too. I was,
it feels like it's been a while.
I was watching the beginning of Supercard of Honor today, and I saw Chuck E. T., and I just live, just a couple of months ago, I saw Chuck Taylor wrestle against Candice LeRae. So that just brought it into my mind as soon as I saw Chuck wrestle. I was like, why am I not seeing her wrestle yet? But you might as well get his story out of the way before you start to tell hers, or else it just gets... She's a very good worker, and she deserves to have her story told alone. So I'm glad that they're keeping her story off TV while Johnny's gets finished. I'm on board for what they're doing. If I have to wait a few more weeks, that's fine. Yeah. So, she's great in the ring.
She's had a long career of intergender wrestling. That's been kind of her like bread and butter for a long time, with Joey Ryan as well.
Yep, the world's cutest tag team, right?
Yeah.
Does Joey Ryan count as male?
As male? Oh, wow.
Clearly you haven't seen his signature move.
I have.
The penis flex. Yeah, there's a lot of speculation on Twitter this week. I don't know if it's just wishful thinking from people, but I saw a lot of people in my timeline thinking that we're going to somehow lead to Candice and Ciampa in an intergender match.
That would be something, but the way that Ciampa works so stiff, and he's such a serious badass, I don't see it, and I certainly don't see it booked by WWE.
Yeah, well,
there's
just
no way.
I think intergender wrestling fans are getting really hopeful that WWE might start to explore this area based off of the Rousey Hunter match on Sunday.
Right, and I get that. but I believe that the rules are different with Rousey, and I certainly believe the rules are different with Triple H.
Yeah.
So I don't think that anyone should get their hopes up.
Yeah, that's not the start of a new era. They had to put over Rousey as this total, you know, machine who takes on all comers. That they had to do that. Triple H did a job to put over somebody who he personally just dumped a ton of his money into, right? Because as a big stakeholder in WWE, it's his money.
Right. All right, gang. I'm pretty sure that's our show. We had a lot of call-ups. We had a couple of matches to go through and four emails. Good emails, I would say. We did have the announcement of another UK tournament. We'll talk about that a little bit later, next week maybe. I'm not sure exactly what this is going to be. I don't know why there's another tournament where we have
the Conor the King of the Ring tournament, aren't they?
Are they now?
Are they really?
I saw an ad for the King of the Ring UK tournaments.
Oh, I did not see that. So I saw whatever I saw was before that.
Uh-huh.
I just saw the return of the UK tournament. So looking forward to that. And as we get more details on that, we'll cover that.
I gotta say there was one thing that we were surprised on in terms of call-ups. There was.
Okay.
Aleister Black didn't get called up, and we all predicted he would.
Oh, yeah. We thought he might lose that match. Well, I think we all thought the loser of that match would go up. And
Almas hasn't been called up either. Yeah, so we miffed on both of them.
Maybe Almas is being saved for next week, or maybe he's going to have that rematch and put Aleister over one more time.
And we're saving him for marriage?
And if so, yes. Okay, saving him for marriage. I'm down with that.
Percy Watson made his 205 Live debut.
He did.
So there's a pseudo call-up.
Yeah, kind of. So, all right, yeah. Glad they recognized the work from Percy. He's really stepped forward over the last couple takeovers in about that range of time. So good on Percy. That is our show. I am Kelly Wells. You can find me on Twitter at Spooky Milk. I actually tweeted a whole bunch of times this last week because, you know, it's WrestleMania weekend. You have to. At Spooky Milk, I tweet every now and then. I always respond to you if you tweet to me. Harley, go ahead.
Yes, you can find me on Twitter at Talking Honor. And maybe I'll announce that this coming Monday on my ROH podcast, Talking Honor, Mr. Wells will be joining me as a special guest.
Mm-hmm. I'm back on the ROH horse after a few years off, and I'm digging it. I'm having fun. So
we've got a tag team gauntlet match on this week's TV to discuss.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Young Bucks, Motorcycle Machine Guns, and many more.
Oh, I picked the right week. All right, and Justin, go ahead.
Well, you guys just inspired me to start watching ROH if it means I get to talk to Harley more.
Suck up this game.
Again, I'm Justin_M_James. If you can tweet at me and get me up to date on ROH in the next couple days, I would appreciate it. Time to fire up the credit card and get a
super edit a month's worth of TV into like a 10-minute video.
Get me an Honor Club membership, and I'm good to go. Put me in the game, coach. And I actually didn't tweet much during WrestleMania at all, despite it not being terribly gripping to me. I do tweet from time to time, enough that my coworkers comment on it.
All right. So there you have it. That's our show. Knew we'd have a lot to cover with those call-ups. And next week, I expect we'll have a lot to cover as we have totally new storylines. We got to restock those shelves because we lost some talent, people, to the main roster. And we'll see you next time on PWT Talks NXT. Cheers, everyone.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the three times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. This is life.